few minutes we'll be singing, Lord wills, number 460. We certainly have set that aside as a time for anyone to make it convenient for anyone to be obedient to the gospel, but as I've stated so many times, if there are any needs, just raise your hand at any time. We certainly would want those to be taken care of, as they were certainly on the day of Pentecost. Thankfully, we have visitors today. It kind of makes up for a lot of our folks that are missing, and I noticed that the Starnes seniors aren't here today as well, so I'm not real sure about where they are, but there's probably others, and we do miss everyone, and it seems like a lot today, but thankfully, again, have visitors. It makes up for that. A few weeks ago, I taught a lesson about the personal nature of the Bible, and I talked about how we need to look at it, I believe, totally different, that we need to look at it as a specific letter, a love letter written to us from God, me as an individual, that as I look at it, I realize that He was writing that to me, that He is trying to impress me with His greatness and with His love and with His mercy and with His grace and with this wonderful plan that He had for our salvation. That He wanted me to see through it how I interact with my fellow man and woman, and how with each one of them I will realize responsibilities that they may have, and I might be able to help them in those responsibilities through a study of God's Word. That I owe everything to Him, that indeed I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And that I need to love my neighbor as myself, that I need to personally look at it that way. A lot of times we think of it, as I talked about, just a set of rules and regulations, but it's really a set of things that I might do to make my life physically on this earth the way God would want it to be, and enjoyable the way God would want it to be. So as we look at that, we can know that God, even before time began, planned everything. That this wasn't some random act. As things went along, He kind of changed things. He continually wrote the things He wanted to happen, and He talked about those things as if they had already happened. And, you know, as people mature, and we talked about the difference between a weak brother or sister and a strong brother and sister in the class today. As people start to mature, they start to understand some things, and they can read it, they can comprehend it on their own. God had wrote it in such a way that people that have that ability can do so. Now, we realize that that is limited to people that have that ability. Even laws that were written in the Bible certainly were written so that it would be for our learning, that we, as we would have read on today in Romans 15:4, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When I read about people from the Old Testament, it gives me hope. Because when I look at their lives, I realize, hey, they were just like me. Their lives weren't perfect. They did things wrong. They needed God. And the ones that He loved certainly looked to God for that. As I study the Bible, I see that each person will be judged individually. The judgment will be fair. It'll be based on those several criteria the Bible clearly points out. And we're not going to talk about all those today, but we certainly want to get some of them in our mind. Now, some of the criteria are for the same for all, but some are different based on what is revealed in the Bible. And I think this is a struggle for people, because when they look at God, they think, well, how can He do this fairly? Because I'm not Mark. Mark's not me. You know, I'm not Pam. Pam's not me. So how does He possibly do that when billions of people have lived on the face of the earth through this whole time? Because it is personal. I am going to be judged on what I know from God's Word and how I know that. You know, as we think about this thing, if we go into court and we've violated some law, there are several things that the court looks at. One is, am I capable of being judged for what I'm guilty of? In other words, is it possible, the way they look at it, that my mental state may be so that I won't be judged for that because I can't be. I just totally don't have the mind to do that. There are people in this world that don't have the mind. They weren't born with any ability to comprehend and understand things that seem so simple to the rest of us. There are children in this world who are completely safe in God's sight. They do not have the ability to do this. So what we're talking about is, when it comes to judgment, judgment is on the basis of something you could or could not do. In this case, what did you do? So I'm going to ask some questions. Number one, how will I be judged? What are the criteria God uses to judge me? We'll all be judged by the same criteria. Can I be assured of my salvation? I need to understand and know that, because I talk to a lot of people who are Christians and they're a little bit nervous about that. And they wonder, well, you know, am I going to be? I mean, I want to make sure. What allows God to save if all have sinned? Because in reality, God has always been there for us. Even from the old to the new. He never left people. He was always there. But no one was deserving of that. People were in sinful conditions and could not get rid of those sins. But he was always there for them. So how is that possible? So this is the way it will be. And this is for you as well as me. But I'm going to talk about me. I will personally stand there. I will personally be judged one-on-one. This is not some courtroom scene. This is not something that God's trying to get in my mind that I'll have days and days when I can bring my attorneys in and my witnesses, and that's not going to happen. It won't be needed. There won't be a jury. There'll be a judge. The judge will be able to judge, because he can judge all the world. As we looked at Romans 14:10, and we realized that the discussion in the context is about the way we treat our fellow man and how we need to be very careful in not looking at others and misjudging them and what they're doing or not doing, when it especially comes to liberties. And he said, be careful with that. And his reasoning for that was, why would you judge your brother or show contempt for your brother? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to me, to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. So he's saying, in reality, you're not the judge. In reality, you can do righteous judgment. I understand that. But he's simply saying, be careful in this, because you do have one that'll judge you. If you misjudge someone else, you'll be held in contempt, if you will, for that. In 2 Corinthians 5, he said, you're not going to have a bunch of people there with you, Abe, and you know, you can look to them and maybe you can even blame some things on them. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Christ is the perfect judge. There's no one can make an argument that he don't know. There's no one can make an argument that he was only God. You can't make arguments like that. When you stand before him, he can clearly say to you, excuse me. Now, I'm not saying this is the way it's going to be. I believe I'll just stand there and receive my judgment. I have made my case while I was living on earth. That's my case. In Revelation 20:13, in talking about this judgment, he clearly says that every one of us will stand before him. And it says that all were judged, each one according to his works. So, I'll give answers for my life. It'll be on the basis of my works. Again, not on the basis of yours. We've all done, and excuse me, I'm going to say this, we've all done a level of works. We've even talked about this in our classes and in lessons. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For He will bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. It's going to come into judgment. There's one thing about this. I might be before a jury of my peers on this earth. I might fool them. I might actually get by with a crime. That's not going to happen here. See, if I don't realize that on a personal basis, if I'm not looking at you on this, I'm looking at me. I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to be judged by the works that I've done. And this is a little bit scary, going back to us judging others. Christ said in Matthew 7, He makes a blanket statement, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, He's going to tell the context of that, I understand. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, be very careful, Abe, when you're looking at other people, and you're accusing them when you don't know. If I don't know something about a person, you know the best thing to do? Go talk to them about it. I still may not get the answer, but I don't have a right to judge. We don't have a right to look at someone and assume something on the basis of maybe something we thought we saw or something we heard. See, that's not going to work. And I don't have to worry. I don't have to concern myself with that with God. You know, the one thing about God is I'll stand there and He knows everything. He's not going to hold me to account for my sins that I have been forgiven of. Now, other people may. In my life, other people may remember things that I've done. And they may say, Abe, I remember back when you... God's not going to do that. Those are gone. Erased. Will not be remembered against me anymore. And it doesn't really matter what my fellow man says, but it does matter in the way I've judged others, in the way I've looked at others. Do I want to be judged that way? Would I want Christ to judge me that way? Would I want Him to say, you know what? I remember what you did. I know you were forgiven for it, but I'm going to hold you to account for that now. That's your consequence for that sin. And I think people think that sometimes about sin. In Luke 6, Christ, in talking about this subject, He says this. Condemn, in talking about judging not, He goes on to say, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. You ever know of people that they're watching a trial and they've already condemned the person? Haven't even had a trial yet, but they've already condemned the person. Haven't heard the facts, but they've already condemned the person. Now, Christians wouldn't do that. We know they wouldn't do that. Forgive and you will be forgiven. He's talking about have a forgiving attitude. Don't be looking for things in other people. If you do, He'll look for things in your life. Is that what you want? I will be judged righteously. The one thing I never have to concern myself about is that. He talked about all the sins that they had been committing, particularly the Gentiles in Romans 1. And He says, now you might think, well, Gentiles didn't know too much, right? He said, that's not so. He said, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, had they observed how God had judged? Had they observed as Gentiles? Have I observed? Have I known? Have I read about how He's judged? Nadab and Abihu killed instantly. The whole city of Jericho wiped off the face of the earth except for Rahab and her family. Let's go on with this, right? We know these judgments, right? Those are righteous. God makes them. So knowing that, those who practice such things are worthy of death, He said, Abe, get out of them. It's righteous judgment. It's not like people might be judging you. God knows. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Then He goes to Jews and He says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. He said, here you are in sin and you're pointing your finger at someone else. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. In other words, again, a warning. I will be judged righteously, and God will take everything into account. He's not going to do it. And in Acts 17:31, it says, by that man that God has appointed that He will do it. That righteous man that God has appointed, Jesus Christ. I will be, we talked about words today. I thought it was interesting that someone brought that up in some of the songs or the movies. I put movies and TV and things up there. But we also, it's the words we use. In Matthew 12:36, He says, be very careful, Abe. And we know from James 3 that we all suffer with this. You know, it's about the thing where the tongue's in drive and the brain's in neutral. And we make a joke about it, but it's true. And sometimes our words just don't come out the way we want. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. He's saying, hey, be very careful. And I talked about the fact that we need to make sure that there's no corrupt communication in our mouth. And I will be judged personally by Jesus Christ. In John 5, Christ said that His Father had put all things in His hands. He said, now I'm not judging while I'm on earth, because He came to die for our sins. But He says, there will come a time when that won't be true. And He said, that at that time, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Perfect judge. You could not ask for a judge that is more fair, that who already gave up His physical body for your sins, my sins, I should say, who put Himself out there for me, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. So He said, be very careful. You better be very careful. I think of the second psalm and where He said, you better honor the Son and kiss Him, lest He become angry. Why? Because He is the judge. He will make a righteous judgment. I don't want to do anything, say anything, in any way that would dishonor the Son. I want to be careful of my language when I'm talking about God. I don't want to use Him as was brought this morning. I don't want to be flippant in the way that I talk about Him. He is God. In Acts 10, verse 42, in talking to Cornelius and his family, he said, he talked about Christ. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And the reason for this, again, God talks about in Ezekiel 18 His fairness. He is fair. We can't say, well, you don't know. We can't say, you've never lived this. We can't say anything about it at all. Totally fair. I will be judged by Jesus Christ. So, what are some of the criteria used by God? Well, has to be the law lived under. In Revelation 20, verse 12, He said the books were open. Why did there need to be more? Because God is not going to judge Adam and Eve on the same law that He's going to judge me on. God gave them their law. There may be some similarities in it, but it's still their law. God gave Noah a different law, and He told him to do some things he did not tell me to do. God gave a law to Moses, and He told him certain things. When Jonah went to preach to the Ninevites, He told them certain things that they were aware of that God had told them to do, and they repented. I don't know what all that involved, but He didn't tell them to follow the law of Moses. Or, have I lived under the law of Christ? In my case, I've lived under the law of Christ. I would never have lived under the law of Moses unless I had been a proselyte of Jew. I would have might possibly been there with the Ninevites because they were Gentiles. Maybe I would have been like an Abraham if I'd have been a patriarch. But as each one of these people stand before God, it's going to be fair. I, though, personally will be judged by the law of Christ. I will be judged by how I've used the abilities I've been given. I won't be judged on the abilities you've been given. If I can't do some things that you can do, well, but I can still do them to the best of my ability, that's what God demands of me. How do I know that? That's throughout the Bible. But in Matthew 25, in talking about giving monies, huge sums of monies to people, as we look at Him doing that and giving out these huge sums, 5, 2, and 3, 1. When He gave the one, though, the man said, I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to give it back to Him. If I approach God and I say, I thank You for giving that to me, I never used it, here it is, I'm giving it back, He says, you're condemned. I gave you something that was worth so much more than money. I gave you your life, your means, your talents, your abilities. I gave you all of those things. How'd you use them? I, again, will be judged on the basis of how Abraham would be judged on that. I won't be judged on the basis of Paul. I'll be judged on the basis of Abe Martin. God can do that fairly. And my level of spiritual maturity. We talked about this morning from Romans 15:1. We that are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak. We have to understand that there's levels of maturity. God can do that fairly. He can understand that someone that just became a Christian is not going to know the entire Word of God. Will I have that same excuse, if you will, or reason when I stand before God at my age and my spiritual life on this earth? Can I say to God, you know, I made an attempt. You know, I once read the Bible. You know, I read the whole thing through. Where are we going to be? Where will I be? Can I say to God, you know, there's just some things in there that way beyond people understanding. I mean, you expect me to actually study those? Hebrews 5:12-14, for the time you ought to be teachers. He said, you have to start growing up. You have to start growing up. But some other things, in my case, I'll be judged by the words of Christ. Christ laid down some laws that He said He wanted them, and the Holy Spirit, He was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would give them the things they needed to say. And they would be His words. They were going to be reminded of the things that Christ had said. And they would then present them to the people. And over time, it took some years, the entire New Testament was written. In John 12:48, He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. Abe, it's going to judge you. So you might want to know what I have to say. You might want to understand the law. This isn't like me going from Ohio through Kentucky through Tennessee through Georgia into Florida, and I need to know every law as I pass through those states. It's impossible. Now, there are certain laws that are posted. Those I know to keep. But I might be in that state and violate a law. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. It'd be wise for me to probably know some of them a little bit better. But I'll tell you what, this is one I better know. I better know His words. Why? The word that I have spoken will judge Him in the last day. And I wanted to go a little bit further into this about levels of responsibility. In James chapter 3, and I believe that he's clearly talking about those that would teach publicly, those that would get up in front of other people and try to teach, because he tells all of us to be teachers, so he can't be saying, well, some of you just don't teach at all. Now, I think we should have something to teach if we're going to talk to someone. Don't just randomly go out and do it. But he said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, and others say have the word master there, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. He said, be careful in this, because if you get up publicly, you're teaching a lot of people. Abe, don't just speak some words because you think things. Make sure that you can follow them from God's Word. Also in 1 Timothy 3:1, we see a level of maturity if someone's going to serve as an elder. He talks about if a man desires the off position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So that's a good work for people to desire. I've told the young men here, they ought to be looking forward to having those qualifications. But there are qualifications for that. And it's not just things that you're going to have when you're 15 years old. 20 years old. You're going to take some time to develop these and have them. So, if a person is at that level, should they at least have the ones they're capable of having? My argument would be yes. Titus 2 verse 3 talks about the older women teaching the younger women. What responsibility they have. When you face God, that's a responsibility that you need to use. It's not a responsibility you can shirk. When we think of these things, I can't shirk. Now, certainly that one doesn't apply to me. I wouldn't put that one in. The other ones do. If I desired that office, then that office, I need to have those qualifications. And by the way, I don't desire that office, but that's there. I will be judged on gender-based responsibilities. I won't have to concern myself, have I followed the things that God told the women to do? No. Do I need to know those things? Yes. Do I need to teach those things? Yes. Do I need to help others in those things? Yes. But mine are this. In Ephesians 5, since I am married, and this was emphasized on Wednesday night for those that are not. We won't mention them, but if you know of any young ladies, but well, we won't go there. Maybe I should, maybe online. Ephesians 5 says clearly, Abe, you have a responsibility. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wow. I mean, that's as high as it gets. When I face Him, will He say to me, you didn't love your wife like I loved you, a part of my church? That's serious for me. He goes on to say, they ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So He's giving me a high standard to hit. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, you still have children, He said, in your household. Provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What if I stand before Him and I say, well, you know, I wanted to be a father, but I really didn't want to take on that responsibility. What do you think He's going to say to me? I'll be judged on bearing fruit. In Matthew 13, He said, we need to be bearing fruit. And it is an important responsibility. And I'm not talking about, as some people limit this, to how many people we teach or don't teach. This is all my fruit bearing. Everything that I do in my life and the benefits of those things and how it will not only help me in my life but help others. He talks about that person who receives a seed on the good ground, who indeed bears fruit and produces, he says, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Everybody has a responsibility. But God can judge that. How much fruit has each person borne? Do we have to bear as much as someone else? Do we keep a log and so-and-so did better than I did? That's not what we're doing. We're doing it on the basis of what we're capable of doing. And that's exactly what He says in John 4, 35 and 36. But in John 15, in talking about Himself being the vine and us being the branches, He says, we don't have to even worry or concern ourselves about judgment, because He'll cut us off before we ever get there if we're not bearing fruit. He will not, on an individual basis, if we're not bearing fruit, He will not accept us. We'll all be judged with the same criteria then. Well, yes. In what way? Well, we'll all be judged by the Word of God. Didn't matter what dispensation we lived under, it's whatever God told them to do. It's whatever God tells me to do. I'll be judged by grace. I'll receive that unmerited favor, because I'm going to tell you something. If I had to face Him having perfectly done everything that I've discussed, I'm in trouble. I'll be judged by love. And it was because of His great love that He gave His Son for our sins. So that is way beyond anything I can understand, but I will be judged fairly. But then, no. There's some things that will be totally different from me than others. Because I, personally, will be judged based on my gender. I will be based on my ability. I will be based on my maturity. I will be based on my fruit bearing. And I will be judged based on the dispensation that I lived in. All of those things are in God's Word. And I'm going to tell you why I'm thankful for this. How many of us would make it if that wasn't true? Judgment, sure. No one's going to escape it. We're all going to be there. Just not possible. Now, some, again, I want to point this out, can be safe based on their lack of ability to understand and obey. I understand that. All others, though, will be judged based on their works. Works that God before ordained that we should walk in them, according to Ephesians 2:10. It's a very, very personal judgment by a loving God who is not. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. There's not a person on this earth that He brought into this world and He says, I can hardly wait till I can send them to hell. That's not God. He wants us all to be saved, so He made it possible. He's extended His grace. Now, it's up to us. It's going to take our faith, our obedience. We've got to obey everything that He says to the best of our ability if we expect to be saved. Now, the question is, have you obeyed? We're going to stand and sing a song. If we can help you, please let us do so while we're good to stand and sing.